Sometimes, because of a lack of knowledge, people who perform long retreats end up with considerable pride about the mere fact that they finished the retreat. The increase in pride yields an increase in anger, jealousy, and competitiveness. The same can happen with mere book knowledge of doctrine. It is not easy. Afflictive emotions are tricky. Practice is not something you do for a couple of weeks or a couple of years. It takes place over many lifetimes for eons and eons. As we have seen, some texts say enlightenment is achieved after accumulating the collections of merit and wisdom for three periods of countless great eons. If you consider this statement properly, it can encourage you to adopt a patient, persistent attitude through difficult circumstances. If learning this saddens you, this could be due to your desire to achieve Buddhahood swiftly out of your great concern for others. But it could also be a sign of insufficient courage. Enlightenment cannot be attained without working hard at it. To believe otherwise means you are harboring some form of selfishness. This is the entire process of the path. Even though Tibetans might not have wealth that can be kept in a wallet, they have this wealth that is kept in the mind. The stated good intentions of the various religions are not sufficient. We must implement them in daily life, in society. Then we can know the real value of their teachings. If a Buddhist, for instance, meditates in a temple, but outside the temple does not enact those contemplative ideals, that is not good. We must practice in daily life. The real value of practice is seen when we face a difficult period. When we are happy and everything goes smoothly, then practice seems not so urgent. But when we face unavoidable problems, such as sickness, old age, death, or other desperate situations, it becomes crucial to control your anger, to control your emotional feelings, and to use your good human mind to determine how to face that problem with patience and calm. If we practice this way, our first hope is that we may overcome the problem. But if not, at least the problem cannot disturb your mental peace. That is good, isn't it? You are facing the situation and retaining your peace of mind without taking drugs or trying to pull your thoughts away from it. That is why we take such great interest in our weekends and vacations. 5 days a week you are very busy, working hard to make money. Then on the weekend, you go to some remote place with that money and have a nice time. But this means that you are trying to take your mind off your problem. However, the problem is still there. On the other hand, if you have a good mental attitude, it is not necessary to divert yourself. When you can face the situation and analyze the problem, then, like a big piece of ice in the water, it will gradually melt away. If you practice sincerely, you will experience its real value. According to Buddha's own word, his teaching will last here for 5,000 years. At the end of that 5,000 years, it will finally be destroyed by someone who is a reincarnation of Buddha himself. Since when that day comes, there will be no further value in the teaching. However, there are a billion world systems like ours, with limitless billions of those. In some of them, the teaching is newly being introduced. In some, it is waning. The teaching continually remains somewhere at all times. The Buddhas never disappear, and the teaching never vanishes. Here in one place are the summaries for practice gathered from throughout the program. Focus on one suitable for your level at this point, or you could alternate among them over the course of a week. Cultivated patiently over time, the practices will become more and more familiar, and your life will become more and more meaningful. First topic, the morality of individual liberation. 1. Examine your motivation as often as you can. Even before getting out of bed in the morning, establish a nonviolent, non-abusive outlook for your day. At night, examine what you did during the day. 2. Notice how much suffering there is in your own life. There is physical and mental pain which you naturally seek to avoid, such as sickness, aging, and death. Moreover, there are temporary experiences, like eating good food, that seem to be pleasurable in and of themselves, but, if partaken continuously, turn into pain. This is the suffering of change. When a situation switches from pleasure to pain, reflect on the fact that the deeper nature of the original pleasure is revealing itself. Attachment to such superficial pleasures will only bring more pain. Reflect on how you are caught in a general process of conditioning that, rather than being under your own control, is under the influence of karma and afflictive emotions. 3. Gradually develop a realistic view of the body through examining its constituents, skin, blood, flesh, bone, and so forth. 4. Analyze your life closely. You will eventually find it difficult to misuse it by becoming machine-like or by merely seeking money as a surrogate for happiness. 5. Adopt a positive attitude in the face of difficulty. Imagine that by undergoing a difficult situation, you are also undermining worse consequences from other karmas that you would have to experience in the future. As a mental exercise, take upon yourself the burden of everyone's suffering of that type. 6. Evaluate the possible negative and positive effects of feelings such as lust, anger, jealousy, and hatred. When it becomes obvious that their effects are harmful, you will have arrived at the conclusion that there are no positive results, for instance, of anger. Analyze more and more, and gradually your conviction will strengthen. Repeated reflection on the disadvantages of anger will cause you to realize that it is senseless and even pathetic. This decision will cause your anger gradually to diminish. 7. Having recognized the scope of suffering, research its cause and identify that the source of suffering is ignorance of the true nature of persons and things, and that lust, hatred, and so forth are based on this ignorance. Realize that suffering can be removed, can be extinguished into the sphere of reality. Reflect that this true cessation is attained through the practice of morality, concentrated meditation, and wisdom, the true paths. 8. Notice your attachments to food, clothes, and shelter, and adapt monastic practices of contentment to a layperson's life. Be satisfied with adequate food, clothing, and shelter. Use the additional free time for meditation so that you can overcome more problems. 9. Develop a strong wish to refrain from harming others, either physically or verbally, no matter whether you are embarrassed, insulted, reviled, pushed, or hit. Second topic, the morality of concern for others. Perform this 5-step visualization for developing compassion. 1. Remain calm and reasonable. 2. In front of you to the right, imagine another version of yourself, egotistical and self-centered. 3. In front of you to the left, imagine a group of poor people, suffering beings who are unrelated to you, neither friend nor enemy. 4. Observe these two sides from your calm vantage point. Now think. Both want happiness. Both want to get rid of suffering. Both have the right to accomplish these goals. 5. Consider this. Just as usually, we are willing to make temporary sacrifices for a greater, long-term good, so the benefit of the larger number of suffering beings to your left is much more important than this single, egotistical being on your right. Notice your mind naturally turning to the side of the greater number of people. Perform the ritual for the aspiration to enlightenment. First, take the 7 preliminary steps. 1. Make homage to Shakyamuni Buddha, surrounded by innumerable bodhisattvas, whom you imagine filling the sky in front of you. 2. Offer all wonderful things, whether you own them or not, including your body, your resources, and your own virtue, to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. 3. Disclose the countless ill deeds of body, speech, and mind you have perpetrated with an intent to harm others. Regret having done them, and intend to abstain from them in the future. 4. Admire from the depths of the heart your own virtues and others' virtues. Take joy in the good things you have done in this and in previous lives, thinking, I really did something good. Also, take joy in the virtues of others, even including those of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. 5. Entreat the Buddhas, who have become completely enlightened but have not yet taught, to teach for the sake of those who suffer. 6. Supplicate the Buddhas not to pass away and to continue teaching. 7. Dedicate these 6 practices to attaining highest enlightenment. As a conclusion to these 7, offer the purified world system with all its wonders to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who teach compassion. Then undertake the central part of the ritual for aspiring to enlightenment. 1. With a strong determination to attain Buddhahood in order to serve other beings, imagine a Buddha in front of you, or your spiritual teacher as a representative of Buddha. 2. Recite 3 times as if you're repeating after him or her, until I reach enlightenment, I seek refuge in Buddha, the doctrine, and the supreme spiritual community. Through the collections of merit of my giving, morality, patience, effort, concentration, and wisdom, may I achieve Buddhahood in order to help all beings. to maintain and strengthen this profound altruism in this life, perform the following. 1. Recall again and again the benefits of developing an intention to become enlightened for the sake of others. 2. Divide the day into 3 periods and the night into 3 periods, and during each of those periods, take a little time out or rouse yourself from sleep and practice the 5-step visualization given earlier. It is also sufficient to visualize the 5 steps 3 times in 1 morning session that lasts around 15 minutes, and 3 times in 1 night session for 15 minutes. 3. Avoid mentally neglecting the welfare of even 1 being. 4. As much as possible, engage in virtuous activity with a good attitude and develop a rough understanding of the nature of reality, or maintain a wish to do so and work at it. To maintain and strengthen this profound altruism in future lives, 1. Do not lie to anyone at all, unless you can help others greatly through lying. 2. Directly or indirectly help people to progress toward enlightenment. 3. Treat all beings with respect. 4. Never cheat anyone, and always remain honest. In essence, think again and again, may I become able to help all beings. Topic 3. Concentrated Meditation. 1. Choose an object of meditation and focus your mind on it, trying to achieve and maintain stability, clarity, and intensity. Avoid laxity and excitement. 2. Alternatively, identify the fundamental state of the mind unsullied by thought, just in its own state, mere luminosity, the knowing nature of the mind. With mindfulness and introspection, remain in that state. If a thought arises, just look into the very nature of that thought itself. This will cause it to lose its power and dissolve of its own accord. Topic 4. Wisdom. As an exercise in identifying how objects and beings falsely appear in perception, try the following. 1. Observe how an item such as a watch appears in a store when you first notice it. Then observe how its appearance changes and becomes even more concrete as your interest grows. Finally, observe how it appears after you have bought it and consider it to be your own. 2. Notice at various times how you yourself appear to your mind as if existent in and of yourself without depending on mind and body. 3. Then frequently reflect on how phenomena arise depending on causes and conditions, and observe how this contradicts the way people and things appear to exist in their own right, to exist inherently. If you tend toward nihilism, reflect more on dependent arising. If by concentrating on causes and conditions, you tend to reinforce the inherent existence of phenomena, put more emphasis on how dependence contradicts this so solid appearance. You will probably be pulled from one side to the other. The true middle way takes time to find. Also, 1. Identify the luminous and knowing nature of the mind, unclouded by thoughts, and without any conceptual overlay. 2. Probe the deeper nature of the mind repeatedly to reveal its absence of inherent existence, its emptiness. Reflect on the mind's dependence on causes and conditions, as well as its dependence on its parts. For the mind, any length of time, whether 1 minute or the shortest moment, depends on earlier and later parts of that time period. 3. Try to realize the compatibility of the appearance of the mind and its emptiness of inherent existence. See how these two mutually support each other. Topic 5. Tantra. Since the practice of Tantra is primarily to transform how you see yourself, others, and the environment, it can be helpful to visualize yourself as having a compassionate motivation, pure body, and activities benefiting others. Though my own knowledge is limited, and my experience is also very poor, I have tried my best to help you understand the full breadth of the Buddha's teaching. Please implement whatever in this program appears to be helpful. If you follow another religion, please adopt whatever might assist you. If you do not think it would be helpful, it would be best just to leave it alone.
How to Practice was written by His Holiness the Dalai Lama and read by the translator and editor, Dr. Jeffrey Hopkins.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.